from the beginning to the end. That familiar line tells you that you're listening to Encounter God's Truth with Dr. John Whitcomb, noted author, professor, and Bible teacher. I'm your host, Wayne Shepherd, and we're continuing a series that our speaker calls God's Truth Circles. Today, Dr. Whitcomb is going to take us to one of his favorite verses, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, to explain the characteristics of true discipleship. He's going to show how a disciple must be trained to teach others the whole Word of God, all the counsel of God. Of course, you shouldn't be surprised that on this program, our emphasis is on communicating the truth of Scripture, and we hope that that will be clear to you today. If you've missed the beginning of this series, don't worry, you can catch up by listening to all the past programs at sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb. But now, please open your Bible if you're able, and follow along with this Bible teaching.
Friends, it is extremely important to be an inner circle disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, as close to Him as we possibly can come, as the Holy Spirit may provide. That's what God is looking for, someone who believes the whole counsel of God, who takes the whole Bible as inspired, infallible, true, and relevant to our ministry and our daily walk. You know, Paul had concentric circles, as we've seen. Some helped him, stood with him, shared with him to some extent, but it's safe to say that perhaps his closest inner circle single disciple was a young man named Timothy, who came to know the Lord when Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey to what we call today the eastern part of the land of Turkey. And I'm amazed that on the second journey, as he and Silas went through that same region, we're told that when he came to Derbe and to Lystra, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, so his mother was a believer. All right? Now, we read in Paul's letter to the Philippians later, doubtless his favorite church, he said, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one, listen to this, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. My, what a tribute that was from the mighty Apostle Paul. You know, we read that in Philippians 4:15, and you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you. Now, I'm going to send Timothy to you. Now, friends, when we turn to the two letters that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, committed to Timothy, we learn the characteristics of an inner circle disciple. Now remember, this isn't an attitude of superiority here. No, not exclusivism, not departing from any connection whatever with outer circles. We've seen that. But notice what the inner circle was like. May God help us to be this as well. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, his first letter, verse 3. I urge you, says Paul to Timothy, upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. Friends, for the truth, the doctrine that God has given us, the infallible Word of God, there are thousands of false alternatives everywhere. Satan, demons see to it, don't they? Our human hearts are open to these kinds of things. Strange doctrines. What's the opposite of a strange doctrine? Look down at verse 5. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience, and what a sincere faith. Faith in what God has said in His written word. Now, all through this letter, Paul is telling Timothy, hold on to the truth. Hold on to revealed, inspired doctrine. That is the basis, the foundation of your effectiveness under God on planet Earth, to people everywhere. What is it? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2 now, friends, verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to what? To the knowledge of the truth. Well, what's the foundation of this true knowledge? Listen, there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. So, friends, this is the knowledge of the truth, that Timothy was a mastermind and commit himself to as long as he lived. And Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "And for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle," I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, "as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and" what? "Truth, truth, truth." You see, friends, this is a precious commodity, isn't it? Nothing comparable to the truth of God's self-revelation through Christ the Savior as illumined by the Holy Spirit and recorded in the Bible. And so as we move ahead here in his first letter to Timothy, we see how truth dominates the whole atmosphere. Listen, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. What is an overseer supposed to be like, Timothy? To want to be an overseer, a pastor, is a fine work. But among other things, he has to do what? He has to teach the truth. Able, capable, qualified, trained to teach. Praise the Lord. Whatever else we do, we've got to teach the word. So what about a deacon, though? Surely on that lower level in the administration of a local church, you wouldn't expect every deacon to be a teacher of the Bible, would you? Well, listen to this. Deacons must likewise be men of dignity, etc., but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. The mystery, things that God has unfolded, unveiled, revealed about himself and about his love for men and his provision for them through Christ the Savior. So you go down here to verse 13. "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." The faith. Now, what is Paul's challenge to Timothy here? He said, "Timothy, in case I'm delayed getting to see you, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of" what? "The truth." The truth. The pillar, the support, the foundation, the frame of reference for truth. The church of the living God. What a precious, precious function. Now, Paul gives to Timothy just a little sample of what he means by the truth. Listen to this. Here we are, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh," that's Jesus, "was vindicated in the Spirit," in the Holy Spirit's testimony to his identity and his work. "He was beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory," his ascension to heaven. Just a thumbnail sketch of what Jesus experienced and what he did for us. Now, coming down to 1 Timothy chapter 4, how sad. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is, explicitly says that in the later times, some will fall away from the faith. That's, we just heard a summary of the faith, the truth. Some will do what? They'll fall away from that faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. My, demons can influence teaching, distort it, twist it, and destroy those who believe those false things. I've been told that in the United States of America, there are more than 1,000 official registered cults. And I'm amazed, aren't you, how people are gullible, are open to false teaching like this, doctrines of demons. So Timothy, verse 6, Paul says, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables." And I say, Lord, help me to be warned constantly not to believe everything I see and hear and read about, but to be discerning, faithful to what you've said. "Until I come," Paul said, verse 13, "give attention to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Teach the word. Whatever you do, teach. We're not in an entertainment program, are we, friends? No. Verse 16, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, Timothy. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you." Friends, let's put it bluntly. Let's put it very, very straightforwardly. There is no salvation for anyone apart from the truth of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Early Christians were often spoken of as people of the way, referring to Jesus. We could say they were the people of the truth, again referring to Jesus. The way, the truth, the life, the people of the life. Yes, only through Christ, the living one, can we, in dead in our trespasses and sins, become alive forevermore. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 now, verse 17. What about elders in the church? Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at what? Preaching and teaching. Yes, those who have spent hours, days, weeks, years mastering the Word of God, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And friends, it's been my privilege to teach the Bible for 60 years. That is work. It's still work. No teacher would ever be able to say, I've now mastered the Bible, what else can I start learning? Never will. I say, Lord, keep me faithful to your precious word. And so he ends his first letter to Timothy in chapter 6 with these words. Listen carefully. Let all who are under the yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against. In other words, we need to be notorious, friends. Can I say it in a humble way? Famous in whatever community we live for our doctrine, for what we teach, what we believe. So we don't want anyone to disregard the doctrines that we stand for and stand with. Teach and preach these principles, he says to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. And if anyone advocates a different doctrine, verse 3, and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he's conceited and understands nothing, etc. My sound, healthy words, doctrine that comes from God. And so Paul warns Timothy about people who are deprived of the truth. How awful. Deprived of the truth. And people who love money, which is the root of all sorts of evil, and thereby have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many a pang. But Timothy, you flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Yes. Make a good confession in the presence of many witnesses, and keep the commandment, Timothy, without stain or reproach until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he ends his first letter with this desperate appeal. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. End of the book. Amazing. But friends, several years later, just before he died, he wrote his last letter to Timothy. And here we see, friends, so tender is Paul's appeal to his favorite, most faithful disciple. He said, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, and join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Now he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, Timothy. I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him against that day. My soul, my salvation. He can care for me. He'll take care of me. So how do you know that you're walking with him, that he'll take care of you? Listen, retain the standard of sound words. That's right, doctrine, theology, truth. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Isn't that wonderful? God's revealed word is a precious, precious treasure that we must hold on at all costs. And that, of course, brings us to perhaps what I might call my favorite verse. I hesitate to call any verse of the Bible my life verse, but if there's any such thing, this might be it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And friends, why did Timothy have to be strong? Because the things which you've heard from me, Paul said, in the presence of many witnesses, these, not just the most popular, the simplest, the clearest, these things you entrust to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. Timothy, we've got a chain reaction here. Move one step at a time, from God through Paul to Timothy to faithful men to others. That's how the truth of the gospel, the doctrine of salvation, is to be proclaimed throughout the entire human race until Jesus comes. My, that'll take courage, won't it? In fact, we'll have to suffer hardship, verse 3, with Paul and Timothy to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus and do these things and to entrust to the whole world the things he's entrusted to us. The supreme importance of biblical, theological, doctrinal truth. In fact, verse 9, for I suffer hardship, Paul said, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but what? The word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that also may obtain salvation, the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. My. Now, moving down to verse 15, another one of my favorite verses. Dear friend, perhaps for you too, listen to this. Be diligent, Paul said to Timothy, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Really? What do you have to do to be unashamed before God? And we'll all face him someday at the judgment seat of Christ, won't we? And John, you know, said, little ones, abide in him so that when he shall appear, we shall not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John chapter 2. So what do we have to do, friends, when we appear before God? Do not be ashamed. Answer, handling accurately the word of truth. Oh, cut a straight line. Be very careful. Compare scripture with scripture. Remember, the Bible is its own best interpreter. And so if you are faithful with God's word, you will not be ashamed before him. Yes, because so many, verse 18, men have gone astray from the truth. For example, saying the resurrection has already taken place. And they upset the faith of some. And I say, Lord, all kinds of error, distortions of your word are around us everywhere. Now, come down, please, into verse 24. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to what? To teach. Patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. There we are, able to teach the truth. And God can protect people from the evil one when they hear the word of God, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. My, what a precious reminder that is of what we're to teach, how we're to teach it, and with what kind of expectation that the Spirit of God will defeat Satan, who wants to corrupt, destroy everything that God has ever done and said. So we come now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen now to verse 7. Evil men, he says, are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he gives an example of two men who opposed Moses in the court of the Pharaoh, men who opposed the truth, men of depraved mind rejecting as regards the faith. But they will not make further progress, Paul said. Their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. So as we come to the end of this last letter, chapter 3, verse 14, continue in the things you've learned and been convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them. From a childhood, you've known those sacred writings, the Old Testament scriptures, which are able to what? To give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's another great verse statement. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. My. Verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Look out, Timothy. I want you to do what I've done. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith, the things that God taught me. I have never wandered away from his word. But the Lord stood with me in my final defense, verse 17, in order that through me the proclamation, the gospel, the message, the truth might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I say, thank you, God, that he was faithful, yes, to the end. Paul's final words to Timothy and to you and me, dear friends, as well. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. And by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, in season, out of season, rebuke, exhort with all patience and instruction. Thank you, Lord. I can see it now. I'm to reflect everything you've said about yourself, your love, your grace, your perfect provision in the cross of Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. To reflect the light, yes, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Whether it's convenient, inconvenient, appropriate, preach the word. And I say thank you, Lord, for that final appeal you gave to Timothy, your inner circle disciple. And I trust that I'll be one of them too, by your mercy, to do what you told us to do. Mastermind the word, share it, teach it, preach it, proclaim it to the ends of the earth, till Jesus comes for his glory. I pray in his wonderful name. Amen.
Well, indeed, the truth is very important to us as Christians. And this program is called Encounter God's Truth with Dr. John Whitcomb, and it's a Bible-based teaching outreach of Whitcomb Ministries, Incorporated. Find us online at WhitcombMinistries.org and sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb, where we provide hundreds of resources free for your use at any time. Our sermon library is constantly expanding there on sermonaudio.com, so be certain to check back often. Well, Dr. Whitcomb, my question to you this week is simply this. In light of what you've taught today, what kind of steps should a Christian take in implementing a 2 Timothy 2:2 type of ministry in his or her life and family?
Wayne, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, God tells us how we can implement what we have called the Great Commission, to impart truth, to perpetuate truth, protect it to the next generation, the next generation. You remember how tragic was the situation when Cain murdered Abel and left Adam and Eve with no child. But listen to what happened. Genesis 4:25. God gave them another son named Seth. And to Seth, he also gave a son named Enosh. Now listen. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Adam, Seth, Enosh, godly men who gathered together. You remember what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I also in the midst. You know, as we've talked about from time to time, how Timothy was the favorite inner circle disciple of the Apostle Paul. He didn't come out of a spiritual, theological vacuum either. We are told, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I am mindful, said Paul to Timothy, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in whom? Your grandmother Lois, and in whom? Your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well, one generation to another. The message I get from this, Wayne, is simply this. Teach your own son everything God has ever taught you, in such a way that he may teach his son, and so forth. And if you don't have a son, and of course Paul didn't, he adopted one, didn't he? Namely Timothy, and taught him everything he believed that God had taught to him. And I say, Lord, help me to realize this is the way the gospel is proclaimed to the ends of the earth. One generation explaining, living examples to the next generation of what truth means, how it's to be obeyed, implemented, taught. And it's a chain of command. And I say, Lord, that is so important for us today, isn't it? In a dark, dismal world. We can't depend on public schools in America, can we? Never really could. It's in the home first. Father and mother teaching whom? Son and daughter. Teaching whom? Grandson, granddaughter. Down the line. And if that doesn't happen, reach out to the neighborhood and start your own assembly of people who believe the Bible well enough to want to be taught everything it says. Everything that God meant by what he wrote. To perpetuate the truth, protect it from corruption, takes massive time, dedication, teaching. And I say, Lord, help me to do that. That's the Great Commission of Jesus. Everything he's ever taught, we're to make disciples throughout the world. So whether it's an adopted son or child in a spiritual sense, or your own actual child, friend, what an opportunity it is to live before that one, the truth of God, that it might be what? Illustrated, exemplified, explained, illuminated in the way we react to situations, the way we handle problems, sickness, tragedy, pain. I just say, Lord, help me to be a living model of Jesus Christ in my home, my community, my church, wherever you put me in this world, that I might be an exemplification of Jesus Christ Himself, the light of the world.
Well, some wonderful and very practical thoughts that I'm sure will challenge many of our listeners. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb, for your teaching today. Although our time together is ending for now, we want to stay connected with you all throughout the week. So if you enjoy using Facebook, let me invite you to like our page at facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries, where we provide regular updates about news and events from our ministry. We certainly welcome your feedback and participation there as well. Next time, we'll begin a two-part message entitled Truth is Greater Than Love. That's part of our continuing series on God's truth circles. Until then, for Dr. John Whitcomb, I'm Wayne Shepherd, encouraging you to continually encounter God's truth.